Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Dawn Stensland, round number one at 6:03 on this Friday morning.
Yes, and good morning, Friday, July the 12th, with a stormy forecast ahead. We'll tell you about that as we are sponsored by Best Work Industries for the Blind this morning. A young boy, 2 years old, as well as two teenagers, had to be rushed to the hospital where they are recovering this morning after they were shot in North Philadelphia. This all began just around sunset last night, and it was on the 1300 block of North 11th Street near Master Street. Police say at least 30 shots were fired from a semi-automatic weapon or weapons. It looks like it was some kind of a shootout, in fact. So they found those shell casings. They counted 30, but then they're looking at the nearby homes, cars that may have bullet holes in them. So at least 30. But they say a 2-year-old little boy, his 15-year-old sister, who were walking near their home, they were caught in the crossfire, as we say, by that gunfire, innocent victims. And they were rushed to Children's Hospital, where they're in stable condition. So not, it looks, you know, like they're going to survive, thank God. But then another 17-year-old boy, not related to them, in a different area, he was caught by gunfire, I guess, in his ankle. And so he's also being treated. So it looks like a shootout. It looks like everybody who's hospitalized was not the intended target. We hear this too often.
I was just going to say, it happens way too often, especially here in this city.
How do you get shot in the ankle?
That just shows you how it's like a spray of gunfire. Yeah. These people are shooting at each other.
Countless lives have been saved and stable conditions provided because this city has such a bad shot and a bad aim.
Yeah. And great doctors.
And great doctors. Yes. Obviously.
Right. Yeah. We have and great firefighters, many rescues of victims who were trapped by that huge 4-alarm fire destroying an apartment building in Philadelphia's Ronhurst neighborhood. This is in the Northeast. So the initial call came in about last night late and then kept firefighters there through the morning, making many, many rescues of people who were trapped up in the upper floors of this large apartment building. So it's 7400 block of Roosevelt Boulevard, just north of Cottman Avenue. So we know at least 3 children are injured. They're recovering this morning in the hospital, and at least 50 residents displaced after this fire. I mean, it just ravaged this building. It's gone. So we don't know the cause of that fire. We also know that we also are not hearing, thank God, that any firefighters were injured. It's not as hot as we've seen it, but still hot, humid weather overnight, last night and into this morning, to fight this level of a fire.
I mean, what was it, 89, 90 yesterday, 91? Yeah. Hot enough.
Yes, yes, sir. Just some headlines for you. As Pennsylvania lawmakers finally got her done, and they reached a deal, a budget deal, here in Pennsylvania, in Harrisburg, $47.6 billion with what's being called sweeping changes to public education. So more than 11 billion of dollars of those dollars of the budget, I should say, going toward education, because that has been a huge sticking point here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. I saw the email last night from the Commonwealth Foundation. I'm not sure if you're on that email thread, but they put out a detailed breakdown last night. Not very happy with where the funds are being allocated.
Yeah, and the Commonwealth Foundation, they're policy experts. So they have even, some of them even have testified, like our friend Nate Benefield. He's testified before some of these committees and talking about what's needed to fix education. So they would know, and that's a real disappointment. But the new deal does inject, I apologize, I said it's $1 billion into K-12 schools. It does scale back the plans to address some of the other funding. I have to correct myself. It's not 11. It's $1 billion toward K through 12 public schools. Let's talk about Mayor Sherelle Parker. We've talked a lot about Sherelle Parker saying everybody's got to come back to work, saying we're at war against the status quo. And so they were in court yesterday, and they'll be back in court today. City workers, this AFSCME union, 4,000 individuals who are facing a mandate by the mayor to come back to work coming up this Monday in person. No more Zooming it in, no more hybrid.
No more mailing it in. I'm typically anti-mandate, if you get my drift, but this is a mandate I can get behind. Get off your couch and go back to work.
Well, they
I like that idea.
They say it is a, this is now negotiable, that if you want workers to actually drive into work, then you have to pay them some money and you have to negotiate that. They should get more money. And they cited the fact that it's summertime, that it's the middle of the summer, and that kids are out of school and there are childcare issues.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to bring that up in about 15, 16 months when Stocker and I sit down. You know, Greg, if you want me to come into 2400 moving forward, I'm going to need some extra money. We'll see how that goes over.
Where are you? Hello.
So we have jury deliberations underway for Senator Bob Menendez, New Jersey, a.k.a. Gold Bar Bob, as far as former Philadelphia labor leader Johnny Dock, as he's known, John Dockerty, an iconic, really, I have to say, a larger-than-life figure, a labor leader in Philadelphia, sentenced yesterday in federal court. The judge sentenced him to 6 years behind bars. And so a very, very humble John Dockerty apologizing before the judge and essentially saying, I'm at your mercy.
Wow. 6 years you got.
Yeah.
All right.
So embezzlement charges, has to pay back a lot of money, as he's accused of embezzling money for things like birthday parties and grocery store visits and some lavish events. So that one's going on. So I know you're going to talk about Joe Biden and the big boy news conference yesterday. As far as our Phillies, we swept the Dodgers last night. So tonight, 6:05, Oakland A's here in Philadelphia. And that brings us to the forecast, high of 83 degrees, scattered downpours and thunderstorms. Could get heavy at points and, in fact, a flood watch in effect. So if you're going to the game either today, or I have some relatives all excited for tomorrow, because, I mean, last night, these are sold out events, but it looks like for tonight, you know, bring that rain gear.
Swept the Dodgers right out of town. By the way, that home run Kyle Schwarber hit, I think it still has not landed and came back to orbit. That was a bomb that he hit. I think it was his 19th home run of the year. I legitimately turned off the whole Biden nonsense, flipped over to the Phils, and the ball is just ascending into space as I put on the game. And I'm like, all right, we're going to sweep the Dodgers.
Well, you were right. We have the rest of the forecast real quick. Tomorrow, 88 degrees, those scattered storms, mostly in the morning. So hopefully it won't be any kind of a rainout or washout for the Phils tomorrow, again, against the A's continuing. And then Sunday, heating up again, the next heat wave number three. We start on Sunday, heating up again, 94 degrees for your Sunday. And then here we go again, starting on Monday when those city workers are supposed to head back, although they'll be in court today to find out their fate. But Monday and Tuesday, sunny, hot, humid, and back to 96 plus degrees. We are sponsored by Best Work Industries for the Blind, and just a great organization with a great store for sure. So Best Work Industries for the Blind store, helping businesses succeed in all work environments. BestWorkSupplyCenter.com, offering some traditional office products, cleaning supplies, furniture, technology, and much more. Free shipping, next day delivery. Shop now. Save BestWorkSupplyCenter.com. Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:12 on this Friday morning. Let's get to one last big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, the big take this morning, big boy, for the big guy turns into oh boy, Thursday night, July 11th, 6:30 p.m. Where were you? Where was Joe Biden, actually? He was 57 minutes late to his own press conference. The 46th president of the United States, I think, was officially put out to pasture on live television. Either Joe Biden has allowed his ego to get in the way, in a last-ditch effort to save his failing campaign, or perhaps those on his staff and the people behind the scenes who pull the strings use this as an opportunity to snuff him out once and for all. But either way, it's a wrap for Joe Biden, in my opinion. One of two things are going to happen here. Either the Democrats will formally nominate Joe and then officially replace him at the end of August at the DNC and hand the reins over to Kamala Harris, or Joe will go kicking and screaming defiantly against the wishes of his own party, Clooney and Obama be damned, into the election on November 5th, and Donald Trump will defeat him in the rematch. Biden either has 6 weeks left or he has 11 weeks left. I believe it's a formality at this point. Not calling a landslide by any stretch, but I don't see him winning. Take that one to the bank. And leading up to Joe's big boy press conference last night, we had all sorts of fresh, juicy details that emerged. But prior to those details, there was another jaw-dropping truth bomb that hit the mainstream media and Democrats squarely in the nose. The Daily Show on Comedy Central interviewed 6 black voters from New York City. The question? Trump or Biden? The answer? Well, it left the network host in shock. Listen and watch this.
Okay, so who will you be voting for in 2024? Daryl?
Do I have to say his name? I don't want to, but more than likely it's going to be Trump.
Yeah, okay. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Who are you going to be voting for?
Biden.
And then Victor?
I'm with her.
Oh, Biden, okay.
Trump.
Eric, Trump?
Biden. Mm-hmm.
Biden?
Trump.
Okay, we're an even split, which I didn't see that coming. So do you think there's going to be a big shift, any sort of change?
I think it's going to be a big shift.
Me too.
Big shift? Shift?
Yes.
Big really? Shift. Okay.
For me, I've always been a Democrat, and it's like, for the most part with the Democratic Party, they always make a bunch of promises that they can't deliver.
You know, they use the issues of the African-American community as a soapbox to stand on and make promises, you know, just to get us to come out and vote. And then once we vote and everyone's in place, it's like, well, what happened?
3 for Trump, 3 for Biden. And shockingly, 2 of the 3 who say they will vote for Trump are black females. Now, look, is Trump going to get 50% of the black vote? The likelihood of that happening is the same probability of Sean and Phil's New York Jets going undefeated this season. But it further confirms my belief that Trump will be at or above 20% with the black vote in 2024, up from 12% 4 years ago and up from 6% in 2016. Over the course of Thursday morning and Thursday afternoon, the headlines continued to be damning for the Democratic Party. NBC News with this headline, quote, "No one involved in the effort thinks he has a path. Biden insiders say the writing is on the wall. The set of Democrats who think he should reconsider to stay in the race has grown to include aides, operatives, and officials tasked with guiding his campaign to victory." Here is more details from that report on MSNBC. Listen and watch.
So, John, you have new reporting, and you spoke to several Biden insiders who say the writing is already on the wall. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we spoke, Natasha Karecki, Carol Lee, and I spoke to several people working directly on the campaign effort for President Biden who have said that they don't see any path forward for him, that they don't see a chance for him to win. One of them, a campaign official, said that he should drop out now. There are people who are still holding out hope on his campaign that he could, in fact, defeat Donald Trump. But even some of those are now questioning, as they told us, questioning whether or not they're right about that. And in addition to that, also spoke to one lawmaker who's close to Biden, who said that Biden would have a very good legacy if he chose not to seek re-election. But if he goes forward with this, if he ends up losing, if he drags down Democratic Senate and House candidates, that legacy will be, quote, completely ruined. This lawmaker said they would never publicly disavow him, but if given an opportunity to advise him privately, would tell him to do what's, quote, best for himself and for the country. And that lawmaker said that would be to drop out of the race.
Perhaps the only thing that can put an ego in check is when the word legacy gets tossed around. Sports, politics, life. Nobody wants a tarnished legacy. Nobody wants to be remembered in a negative light. Biden has also been hit with another blow. Pew Research indicating that Joe's approval rating has hit another all-time low, now dipping down to 32%. He is underwater and drowning with both genders, every age demographic, every race, and every ethnicity. The New York Times doing their part to get Joe out of the race, saying, quote, some advisors are discussing how to convince him to step aside or bring down the whole party up and down the ticket this fall. Politico with the headline, Barack Obama and George Clooney were in touch before the actor wrote his brutal New York Times op-ed calling on Biden to step aside. And while Obama didn't encourage or advise Clooney to say what he said, he didn't object to it either, end quote. We told you that yesterday on Thursday's show. And Axios reporting, House Democrats poised to issue a flood of new statements urging Joe Biden to exit the 2024 race, regardless of what transpires at his NATO press conference, more than half a dozen lawmakers say. So last night, Joe was scheduled to speak at 6:30 p.m. And once again, Joe was way behind schedule. Try 7:27 p.m. Eastern time. I marked the tape. But prior to finally taking the podium, Biden was clearly on his A-game when he botched the introduction to Zelensky, calling him Putin. Listen and watch this.
And now I want to hand it over to the president of Ukraine, who has as much courage as he has determination. Ladies and gentlemen, President Putin. President Putin. I'm going to beat President Putin. President Zelensky. I'm so focused on beating Putin, we got to worry about it. Anyway, Mr. President,
I'm better.
You are a hell of a lot better.
What a brain meltdown. And of course, the media there clapping along after Joe gets it wrong. Here was Joe Biden last night in front of the nation as he says, Donald Trump is his vice president, not Kamala Harris. Listen and watch this.
What concerns do you have about Vice President Harris's ability to beat Donald Trump if she were at the top of the ticket?
Look, I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she's not qualified to be president. So let's start there.
So let me get this straight, Joe. Putin is the president of Ukraine, and Donald Trump is your vice president. Did I get all that? From big boy to oh boy. The big guy's expiration date is long past due. Defeat is inevitable. It's just how, by who, when, and by how much. Trump is in the driver's seat right now, and the MAGA bus is driving full speed ahead, unburdened by what has been. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
All right, big take this morning. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. You can get us on social media at 1210WPHT. And, of course, the YouTube chat. Just go to youtube.com/at1210WPHT. Hit the like and subscribe button and let your comments rip. We'll come back, get Dawn and Sean's thoughts to last night's spectacle, last night's festivities, and we'll have some conversation on that. And if you want to jump in, you can do so as well. Kale and Company on a Friday morning. We're back after this on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Get us on the free Odyssey app. Watch us live on YouTube. Dawn Stenzel, I'm going to start with you. I know you had a very busy night last night with Trump 47, but
yeah.
Your impressions and takeaways from what you saw and what you caught up on from Biden and Zelensky to Biden and the teleprompter to apparently DJT is actually serving as the big guy's vice president. What did you make of that spectacle last night?
Well, I was at this great event in Westchester County. Trump Force 47, we'll talk about it. So I was glad that it ran so late.
Yeah.
Because I would have missed the entire thing.
Well, so, Joe was waiting for you to get done.
So I caught the end of it as I was driving home. And so I would just say that I'm going to disagree with you. I think that he actually did well for himself because he went on.
Okay.
He was relatable, even when he talked about my wife's all over me. And you know what I mean? That humanized him. You know, it's a term we use in the media, but it did. And I think that as he talked about the policy, as it went on and he took questions from people, I think that if you're a Biden supporter, if you're a Democrat, then you said, well, you know what? People make blunders. It's embarrassing, especially on such a big day. But you know what? As it went on, if you stuck with it, I think he did himself well. I do.
Just by getting up there and taking the bullets?
Yeah.
Okay.
And even explaining himself. And even, you know, a reporter asked him, well, you know, earlier you introduced, you know, they confronted him with geez, earlier you introduced President Zelensky as president, you know, the president of Russia.
Oh,
jeez. I mean, that was like, oh, my God.
Right.
So the fact that he then addressed it, he goes, well, I did, you know, but I immediately said, you know, and he realized that he did.
He caught himself.
He caught himself. He says, like, you're going to. So to me, the way that I personally read this is that I think it's amazing how the media and the Democrats are in line with each other. And now Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all in line. Oh, no, look at him. He made the blunders. He's got to go. Nope, he's fine. We've got less than 4 months. He's the guy. And so to me, what is obvious is how the media once again is complicit with Democrats walking in lockstep.
Yep.
Saying Joe's got to go.
Well, they're just being told what to say.
It's only because of the polls.
Right. Yeah. And by the way, Dawn is here with us, although she's having camera malfunctions in her studio. So you're probably going to get stuck with just Sean and I right now. From a view standpoint, we apologize for the obscene look of both of us.
But Dawn
is about 12 yards away from me. Sean, your thoughts from what transpired last night leading up to it and then all the fallout.
Well, I think last night we were all anticipating something. You know, they called it a big boy press conference. I thought he was going to be tested a little more than he was. And then to hear him go, well, I was told to call on the following people. I said, oh, OK, this is just normal. This isn't a big boy anything. This is what he normally does. He knows who he's going to call on. He probably knows what the questions are going to be. You know, we've seen this before. And I thought he performed OK when he was reading his, you know, scripted remarks off the teleprompter. It didn't seem to lose any battles with the teleprompter. It didn't seem to read any prompts. There was no end of quote, repeat the line moments.
Pause.
Pause. 4 more years. Pause. Whenever Joe Biden starts going off script, he makes that face. His eyes get really big, like when he blamed AIDS on Elton John. I don't know if you guys have ever seen that clip.
He's got
his arm around him and he goes, it's all his fault. We're spending all this money fighting HIV. And I get what he was trying to say was like Elton John is helping to raise a lot of money. But he, you know, you don't put your hand around a gay man and blame him for AIDS. You just don't do that. And that was a couple of years ago, you know, when everybody realized Joe Biden actually had dementia, including Chuck Todd, by the way, the fake news. But they covered it up. And that's part of the story, too, that not enough people are talking about. In fact, the media covered up the cognitive decline until it was no longer, a net positive for them to do so. But last night, I think one of the biggest things that I'm going to be focusing on is, I saw a lot of comments saying, oh, you know, this is better than the debate. And I obviously, you know, a mailbox could have performed better in the debate, 15 days ago. But to say that last night was better than the debate, I have to disagree. I think last night what you saw was the same guy that was on the debate stage. I want you to think about this, right? You may think it looked a little better, right, last night than the debate because the debate was so catastrophic. But the dude that was on the stage last night was the exact same dude. The only thing that was missing was the contrast, right? The only thing that was missing was the contrast. You did not have another candidate on stage last night who is competent, who can answer questions quickly, who can think on his feet, who has the energy and the vibrance, Donald Trump. You didn't have that other candidate on stage to contrast that with Joe Biden. And that's what makes the debate setting such a unique setting in presidential elections is that you get to contrast both candidates, or if there's more than two, you know, on their issues, on their delivery, on how they look, how they feel, all of that. And you didn't get that last night because obviously, you know, Joe Biden's not going to be holding a joint press conference with Donald Trump. But the point that I'm getting at is without that contrast, you don't really see how bad it is for Joe Biden, but he was still low energy. He was still lethargic. He was still mumbling. He was still trailing off. He said, anyway, about 40 times last night, you know, and that's his verbal crutch. That's his verbal crutch to get himself back on track, right? So, but he did that. He drifted off, you know, the whole Vice President Trump. I get it. He misspoke. But you know what? Ask me if I care that the left is going, oh, you're seizing on him misspeaking. We've all done it. Yes, we've all done it. We're all not the president of the United States. And it's not just that he misspoke, Vice President Trump, the Putin thing, you know, the whole when he left the stage, he didn't. This is the biggest point, right? When he was completely and totally unscripted, when somebody said that that question obviously wasn't planned because Joe Biden was not expecting to call Donald Trump Vice President Trump. But when that reporter starts shouting at him at the end of the at the end of the press conference, at the end of the oh boy press conference, and they say, you know, you referred to Donald Trump as Vice President Trump. Joe Biden wasn't expecting that question. That wasn't on the agenda. That wasn't on the menu. What he should have done is left. Don't say a word. Just get off the stage. Take whatever dignity you have left. And go, go home, go backstage, let Jill wipe your rear end, and that'll be the end, right? Instead, what he did, instead what he did is he looked at him like a guy who's seen a ghost, and he's going, listen to him. What does that mean?
Yeah.
What do you mean, listen? So you're telling America to listen to Trump?
Yeah. Okay. I mean I've been listening to Trump. The bar is so, so low for Joe Biden that it's just basically set at a point where it's almost hard for him to actually embarrass himself more than you would expect. I was agitated with the media last night because this whole thing was supposed to be big boy, unscripted Joe live in the flesh, right? I mean, I get it. Every president does have some speeches where there's going to be a teleprompter. You could take that to the bank. And then he pivots away from that and pulls the card out. All right, I've got these eight questions from these eight reporters. And he starts with Reuters. And it's this whole thing of, and the media, what ticks me off about them, Dawn, is they waited so long to hit him with the cognitive stuff and the slip-ups. I don't know about you guys. I couldn't care less about NATO. The whole NATO stuff, just save that for a wonky podcast. Let's get down to what matters with our country and the cognitive decline of our, like, you can't bury the lead. Enough with the Zelensky crap, which, by the way, more funds going to Ukraine. We're the biggest money laundering operation in the history of society. But I felt like the media waited too long to get back into what really matters.
But first of all, for most news conferences, when Trump was president, you know the order. You generally do know which reporters are going to be called upon, and those reporters know they're going to be called, and there's a pecking order. So that is the truth. I mean, that happens. It's protocol with everybody. I don't have evidence that the questions were, that he had the questions in advance. If he had the questions in advance, now, if you know the topic in advance, that's fair game.
Sure.
That happens.
Sure.
But I don't know that he verbatim had the questions in advance or that he had the answers to those reporters in the prompter, because that would have been significant.
Yeah, no, he definitely didn't have the answers in the prompter, because you could tell he was not looking left to right and pivoting from prompter one to prompter two, as you're supposed to.
But my point to you is, I know we live and breathe this stuff and we watch every, you know, the so-called raw news conference. So we watch the whole thing. I'm just saying, what I saw last night was not any different than I've seen of Joe Biden over the past years.
So you think like maybe the average American who just pops in here and there saw Joe and was like, okay, par for the course.
That's what we've seen for nearly 4 years. I don't see the decline. I think the moment, I mean, to Sean's point about when he's toe to toe with Trump, and quite frankly, you know, Trump is tough to go toe to toe with. I mean, we've seen people half his age and he eats them alive. He's an incredible figure. He's energetic. He's 6'3". You know what I mean? Like he
owns
physically. He does.
Yeah. He controls, he dictates everything up there.
100%. But I think what made a difference on that debate stage in June was when Biden had that moment where, I mean, everybody thought, oh God, is he having a stroke right now? Because he froze and he completely lost it and seemed like somebody you could really see that. And I think that we didn't see that last night. We haven't seen it since then. My point to you and to Sean's point is that this is Joe Biden. I don't see the decline. So, yes, clearly they've been covering up. They've all, and you just mentioned Chuck Todd and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly they've been covering this up, but this has been going on for years. I don't see the decline. And so what is the emergency for him to step down is my point. Do you know what I mean? If he's been like this 3.5 years, then, well, you know what I mean? He's going to be out. He's going to be out in just a few months. So let the stay in.
I'll say this, right? So he has been like this since he took office. I agree with that. The difference here, so you're saying you don't see the decline, and I don't see a different guy, right, than he was 3 years ago. Yes. That's totally valid, because we've been watching him and we're like, this is the guy. But for those of us, or for people out there who, the normies who tune in every 4 years for elections, who haven't been watching him, the media has consistently come to Joe Biden's defense and said he's vibrant. I mean, Rachel Maddow on MSNBC literally said, you know, the man rides a bike, which is hilarious because he falls off of it. That's what he's known for. You don't bring up the bike without thinking back to Joe Biden falling off the bike a couple of years ago in June of 2022. So there were so many of these conversations about how Joe Biden's vibrant and he's with it and he's scrappy Joe and all of this. And then you turn this on. Now the media has turned on him, and you turn on last night and you see that he's not vibrant. He doesn't have the energy. He's lethargic and slow. And while that doesn't look like necessarily, like you said, basically it's par for the course for people like us who've been watching him the last couple of years, but the American people who have been lied to by the media, they told these people that he's vibrant, he's got it, he's all good. And then you turn that on and you don't see a vibrant guy who's got it and is all good. You see basically the same version of the dude you saw at the debate. That was the reason why the debate was so earth-shattering, is because so many Americans had been lied to and gaslit by the mainstream media that wasn't Joe Biden, right? When all of us, Nick, Dawn, you guys, we all know that was Joe Biden. The June 27th debate was Joe Biden. We were expecting to see something like that. I don't know if we expected it to be that bad, but we were expecting to see something like that. We watched last night. And it is par for the course for what we're used to seeing. But the media has told us, no, that's not who he is. He's vibrant. He's this, that, and the other. And so I think there's a contrast there for the American people who are not as dialed in as we are.
Right.
And Dawn, you mentioned, you know, you're in the business. You've been in the business for a long time. You understand there's an order at these press conferences. I think where Joe Biden, I don't think it's a problem that necessarily that happened, that there was an order. I think they hyped it and marketed it as a big boy press conference. He's going to prove that he's got it. And the very first thing he does when he's done with the teleprompter is tell the world that he's got a list of people to call on. You know, you could go ahead and call on them without revealing that. You don't have to look down and go, I was told to call on this. Just start with Reuters. Hey, let's go to X so-and-so from Reuters. Boom. Yep. And now you don't know if there's a list. Now you're like, okay, there's a reporter. Let's go there. And now we're not talking about, well, did he have the questions? What did he know what they were going to ask? You know, what's the deal with the order? Instead, you're just like, okay, you know, John Doe from Reuters, go. Mm-hmm. And you just move down the list without telling everybody you've been told to pick on these following reporters, right? I mean, just like the gaffe last night where, you know, I'm told by my commander in chief, bro. You are the commander in chief. You don't have a commander in chief unless you're talking about Jill, right? So these little things, and these are, look, you can say he misspoke or whatever, and it happens to everybody. No problem. But this guy's an 81-year-old president, you know, of the United States. He's got to be sharper than that. I'm sorry. He's got to be sharper. And I think the American people, they turned it on last night. They're like, okay, he may not have been worse than the debate, but I don't think enough people will go, okay, all right, my concerns have been alleviated here. I think they're like, whoa, this dude is like on the brink every time he talks of having a really bad moment. And we just can't have that. That's a liability.
I think the casual observer who pops in from time to time, the uninformed person, which is the scary thing, the uneducated voter, just to get into their mind for a moment, maybe they tune in and they see Joe and they think it's the same Joe we've seen for the last three and a half, four years. But then they put on the post-game coverage, so to speak, of the mainstream media, and they see that the tone has changed. The narrative has changed. They're like, whoa, wait a minute, MSNBC's crushing our guy. This is the home field advantage we're supposed to have. Why is the home team getting booed on the home field? This is clip 38. Rachel Maddow last night, which, by the way, I flipped over. They had the whole post-game show. It was Rachel Maddow, Joy Reid. I forget who the man was on the left of the screen as the lead anchor. And then there was
Chris Hayes.
And then there was another female to the right, but they had Joy and Maddow in the middle of the four. And Rachel Maddow says the following about Joe Biden and maybe where he's being misled and misfed bad information. Clip 38, boys. Go ahead.
I think that what Nicole points out about the reality about polling numbers for incumbent presidents and the real history of that versus what President Biden said, which was not actually factually accurate, as far as I can tell. That's worrying because it makes me worry that the president is being given information about his political standing that may not be based in reality, that may be sunnier than is real.
So how about that? Rachel Maddow basically fact-checking Joe Biden and bringing up the fact that maybe Joe, with his current state being so out of it, that he is being given the small little bit of polling that shows him neck and neck with Trump, or maybe slightly up a point or two in Michigan or Wisconsin, and maybe the big guy just doesn't realize how far he is behind. Now, he sits there all the time when he's asked about it and says, oh, the polls have been wrong. And just tell me where I was 2 years ago and 4 years ago. But do you think this is an ego play by Joe and Jill? Or is he
it's the ABC poll.
Right. But
the ABC poll, the headline says 60 that they're tied and that Kamala does as well as Trump. I think this is fair game. Why is Rachel Maddow? Called her Mad Cow because you guys got me caught.
That's the Farish factor.
That's her name. That is her real name. That is her
Sean
real name.
Sean Farish lives
Mad
in my head.
Cow. Okay.
Oh my God. So I just think that this is why she's saying this, because what has to me, I'm looking at this and I'm saying, to me, he looks like the same guy that I've been seeing for since he came into office. I don't see huge difference. What is different then? And what's different is that they know that Trump's going to beat him, and they're freaking out about it.
They are.
And this shows to me, as a person who's worked in media my entire since I was 18 years old and my first little TV show and a public access thing in college, right? I love media. I live media. I have never seen anything like this. They're all in lockstep.
Mm-hmm.
They all right now want to convince the public. That's what they're trying to influence these polls.
Yes.
And this is the emperor has no clothes. This is the moment when we go, oh my gosh, you know, if you didn't think the media was biased, if you didn't think the media was complicit, look at this. These are the same people who've been telling us, oh no, like you said, he's bright, he's fine, he's great.
Right.
And all of a sudden now you have Rachel saying what she's saying. Oh, they're all flipping out. Mika, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's shame on them.
Yeah.
They should all be fired, because all they care about is they're now an arm of the Democrat Party.
They are.
They're showing that.
They're their microphone and mouthpiece.
The FCC should make them have a big banner across every screen. The FCC should.
And it truly makes you wonder why the hell we need all these mainstream media outlets.
Yeah.
If ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, MSNBC, The Washington Post, The New York Times, The Inquirer, if they're all going to regurgitate the same exact columns and segments.
Merge.
It's like, what? Seriously, Sean, think about it. We are so outnumbered mainstream media versus whatever people want to call the form of media that we do. I'd like to call it just cold hard facts and common sense. But why are we outnumbered 7-1 and viewed to be like the radical fringe when the mass majority are all in on this cover up?
Yeah, you are 100% right about how the media is treating this. And I want to go back to something that Dawn said. I think we're getting close to kind of what they're looking to do here, right? So it's all about expectations, okay? Mm-hmm. The debate, everybody had much higher expectations for Joe Biden, right? Because the media up until June 27th acted like Joe Biden did not have dementia, that was Russian disinformation, et cetera. So the expectations were high, and he fell way short by being, as Dawn mentioned, the same guy that we've seen since he took office. We knew the version of Joe Biden on the debate stage June 27th existed this entire time. But everybody else either pretended like that wasn't the case or thought differently. So the expectations were he's going to do really well. And he did really, really poorly. Now we have low expectations. Now we're New York Jets fans going into every season. OK, think about it this way. We're New York Jets fans going into every season. We are expecting 6-11. OK, at the very best. And all of a sudden you win your first three games and you're like, whoa, this is great. You know, maybe we're going to go somewhere this year because you came into it with low expectations. There's a very and, you know, you start New York Jets start the season 3-0. There's still a very good chance you go 6-11. It's just that's just the way it goes. So you're looking at Biden now. You're coming in there after the debate, post debate, your mindset, the paradigm has shifted. The lens has shifted where you're no longer expecting vibrance from Joe Biden. You're expecting the mumbling, the stumbling, the trailing off, the freezing moments, the gaffes. You're expecting it now, not just us, but the American people because of what they saw on June 27th. So the expectations were lower. And so therefore, even if he does fall short, the margin by which he falls short isn't as large as it was on the debate stage because you've been dealing with two straight weeks of the media saying he doesn't have it, you know, he should step aside, etc. So you're coming into this press conference last night with much lower expectations than you came into on the night of June 27th. And I think that's helping Joe Biden because, again, it's all about the contrast. It's all about one thing relative to another. Media tells you up until June 27th, Joe Biden's vibrant. He's got it. There's nothing wrong with him. June 27th debate happens. Everybody realizes there's something wrong with him. Now, that's the last version of Joe Biden that everybody's familiar with, that and the snuffleupagus interview. You go into last night's press conference and you're saying, OK, well, we had the debate. We had the snuffleupagus interview. We know what we've seen recently of Biden. And you saw more of that last night. It's just not as much of a shock to the system to so many people, because for the last 2 weeks, that's all it's been about is how slow he is, how tired he is, you know, jet lag, a cold, whatever the excuse has been. And so he didn't fall short necessarily of expectations yesterday for so many people because the expectations were already low. Right. So, again, New York Jets projected to go 6-11. All right. They go 7-10. It's a bad season, but they exceeded expectations. Did they actually win, though? The answer is no.
No. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in. Speaking of interviews, Joe Biden will sit down with Lester Holt of NBC. That'll be on Monday. It'll be second interview since the debate. And his first since the presser of last night. So Joe will probably, I think he's in Detroit today for another function. And then he'll shuffle off for the weekend, probably go to Delaware. And then he will have another hard-hitting interview with Lester Holt coming up on Monday. Also very interesting timing because, as we know, the RNC convention gets underway on Monday. And many are expecting Donald Trump to announce his VP pick in just about 3 days. Hour number two is on the way. If you want to jump in, 855-839-1210. We'll get some news from Dawn. And we had the radio station cover up in Philadelphia with a Joe Biden interview. Well, it's happened again, this time in Milwaukee, of all places. We'll get to that, as well as Democrats behind the scenes ticking off the left-wing faction of the progressive movement as they are saying off the record, Donald Trump, he's not a threat to democracy. Give it up already. How about that? Multiple people saying it. We'll give you the details on the other side. Kale and Company, Hour 2 is next. Nick, Dawn, and Sean here on the Friday edition. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.